in making its decisions. The government shouldn't do so with an eye toward helping one religious sect or another. It should be neutral. And it shouldn't muck about in the affairs of the religious realm.
Former Attorney General Bill Barr speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Their brand of secularism is really about destroying and subsuming the religious sphere altogether. And that's what I say. The threat today is not that religious people are out to establish a theocracy in the United States. It is that militant secularists are trying to establish an atheocracy.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Bill Barr making the case against the progressive assault on the U.S. Constitution from this year's Making the Case conference. It's available in both video and audio formats for a tax-deductible contribution of $300. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
I rise today in strong support for the Respect for Marriage Act, bipartisan and bicameral legislation to enshrine into law a fundamental freedom, the right to marry whomever you choose. As radical justices and right-wing politicians continue their assault on our basic rights, Democrats believe that the government has no place between you and the person you love. Let us salute Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler for his persistent leadership on this issue. It was 13 years ago, Chairman Nadler, along then Representative, now Senator Tammy Baldwin, Senator Dianne Feinstein, and others, introduced a bill by the same name to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act.
Those are remarks in favor of the Respect for Marriage Act by Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives Nancy Pelosi. It's called the Respect for Marriage Act. Is that a misnomer? Does the state have an interest in who marries whom? Does the state have an interest in marriage, period? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of August. Jarrett Eckerd of the Heritage Foundation is going to join us to describe the Respect for Marriage Act and its prospects for ending up on President Biden's desk. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson from the Old Testament patriarch Joseph in Genesis 37 through, well, the end of the entire book of Genesis. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will be our guest. Dr. Michael New of the Charlotte Lozier Institute joins us to talk about two issues, a new Guttmacher report on the closing of abortion facilities and the Value Them Both Amendment in the state of Kansas. Then Brandon Steenbach will be alongside to discuss transhumanism. He made a presentation at a recent Apologetics and Worldview conference titled Answering the Transhumanist Challenge, Finding Our Dignity and Purpose in the Incarnate Christ. Joining us to discuss the Respect for Marriage Act, Jarrett Eckerd. He's research assistant for the Heritage Foundation's DeVos Center for Life, Family, and Religion, and co-author of a column for The Federalist titled Democrats Fixate on Gay Marriage While the Country Crumbles. Jared, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Todd.
You say that the Democratic Party has set a trap for Republicans. What do you mean?
Rather than focusing on pressing issues like inflation, like the border crisis, like the war in Ukraine, Democrats are trying to push a vote on something that's actually not at all an issue. Nothing has changed in the legal landscape with regards to same-sex marriage. It's legal in all 50 states, but they are forcing a vote on the Respect for Marriage Act, which would radically redefine marriage in really problematic ways.
So why is the Democratic Party fixated on same-sex marriage at this particular political moment?
So I think the best way to think about it is that it's really just a publicity stunt. It's really just a way for the left to get the public's attention off their radical policies. So just as a note, this bill comes in between two proposed regulations, one from the Department of Health and Human Services, the other from the Department of Ed, that would radically redefine sex under Title IX and under Section 1557 of the Affordable Care Act to include things like transgender identities. So this is really just a way for the Democratic Party to obscure from the really problematic and unpopular opinions and policies that they have.
Go into some more detail. What would the Respect for Marriage Act actually do?
Yeah, so the first thing is that it requires anyone acting under the color of state law to basically recognize same-sex marriage. And this means that religious organizations that contract with the state could be forced to violate their deeply held beliefs. So this is especially of concern for religious foster care and adoption agencies who often do a lion's share of the work in a given state when it comes to, again, adoption and foster care. So if they are alleged to be state actors by virtue of their contracts, then attorney generals could basically go after them if they're hostile to their beliefs. Additionally, this bill would require both other states and federal governments to recognize any definition of marriage by just one state. So this means that if one state recognizes polygamy or polyamorous relationships as legal marriage, then other states would have to recognize that, even if they don't themselves accept that. And it also means that the federal government would have to acknowledge that, and that would create tons of problems for things like welfare and tax code. So it really eviscerates states' rights and forces all Americans to conform to the less radical ideology.
Are critics of the Supreme Court correct when they assert that the logic of the Dobbs case recently ruled on can be used against Obergefell and nationalized same-sex marriage?
Yeah, well, again, it's important to understand that Obergefell already did that, unfortunately. So again, the legal landscape hasn't changed at all. Really, what critics are looking at is a concurrence by Clarence Thomas, where he's getting into some legal nuance about kind of how these decisions were made. But both he and the majority recognize that Dobbs only applied to abortion and did not implicate Obergefell. So critics are really just making much ado about nothing.
Why does the state have an interest in marriage in the first place?
Yeah, this is a great question. I think a large part of it is that just looking historically, the state has not had interest in just any romantic relationships and anyone's sexual preferences or various sexual orientations. It has had a special interest in natural marriage, marriage between one man and one woman, because it takes one man and one woman to produce children. And that's really what marriage is oriented towards. It's oriented towards, as a social institution, the production and raising of children. And when children flourish, then society flourishes. And children flourish when marriages flourish, because there's so much research that has shown this, but children that are raised in a stable home with a mom and a dad is really best for them. And so basically, the state has had interest in marriage because it's the surest way to ensure that society, that future citizens will flourish. When marriage flourishes, so does society. When marriage decays, so does society.
You had mentioned before the implications of the Respect for Marriage Act on religious organizations, foster care, adoption agencies, and the like. There is no religious exemption in this bill?
Yeah, so this bill, again, could implicate religious organizations that contract with the state. As written, there are no exemptions. This doesn't mean that there wouldn't be legal battles on this. And again, we've made the case that this was tried already in 2018 in Philadelphia. Philadelphia tried to shut down Catholic social services for having the belief that children should be placed with a mom and a dad. But the Supreme Court, thankfully, ruled that their policy was unconstitutional. It violated religious liberty. So really, this bill is just asking for trouble from the courts, especially given the way that the Supreme Court has ruled on this issue in the last few years. It's really creating needless hassle and trouble for religious organizations.
Are there states that are contemplating expanding the definition of what they recognize as marriage into what you mentioned before, polygamy and polyamory?
Yeah, so currently we're not familiar of any states that have any bills kind of going through the process, but what we do know is that a number of cities, there are I think a couple in Massachusetts, for example, that have already recognized polygamy as a legal civil union. And basically, again, this allows for one state, just one state, if they decide, hey, you know, polygamy should be legalized here and recognized as marriage, then that forces other states and, again, the federal government to recognize it as well. So I think it's really important that we understand that this bill is, again, not really even about same-sex marriage. It's not even just a PR stunt to get attention off radical policies before the election cycle. It's really just another Trojan horse for the left to impose its radical woke ideology on all Americans.
In the practical sense, do the Democrats have the votes to get the Respect for Marriage Act to President Biden's desk?
So while we are optimistic that the Democrats face an uphill battle, it seems like the Senate is bogged down with matters of reconciliation this week. What we do know is that this is a live issue. The Democrats, again, understand that they can't win on the transgender issue. They can't win on their radical abortion policies. So they're trying to exploit another opportunity that makes them look sane and popular. But the reality is that conservatives need to be resistant to this effort and see, again, this bill for the radical policy that it is.
Finally, what would be a better name for the Respect for Marriage Act? How would you name it?
Well, it's certainly anything but Respect for Marriage. I think probably a better name is the Disrespect for Marriage Act.
Jared Eckert is research assistant for the Heritage Foundation's DeVos Center for Life, Family, and Religion. He's co-author of a column for The Federalist titled Democrats Fixate on Gay Marriage While the Country Crumbles. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Jared, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a very important figure in the early Old Testament, Joseph. His story is part of God's fulfilling his promise to Abraham. We'll find out how with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel next.
I hope, just by looking at some of these points, we recognize the pressure on us to be silent, but also the cost.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, making the case against Christian silence at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That I am fairly certain that I will one day die. If the Lord returns before I die, then to God be the glory. But I expect that one day I will die. I want to die talking.
You can watch and listen to Dr. Moeller's teaching and all of the presentations from this year's conference for a tax-deductible donation of $300 by Labor Day. It's available via on-demand video streaming or podcast. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.